seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job, those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up to greet me.
Oh yeah, BJ Thomas, remember him? Raindrops? Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you so very much for joining us. It's Wednesday, November the 15th. We have a lot going on. In a few minutes, Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. We are going to talk about the Biden administration's guidelines for regulators on artificial intelligence. Jessica says it puts way too much faith in the regulators and not enough in the free market. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And President Biden is meeting with Chinese President Xi out in California this morning, but Joe may already have handed the Chinese a huge win. We will discuss that. Stay tuned for it. And New Hampshire tells Biden to go scratch, that it will continue to be the first state to hold a presidential primary. He does not want that. I believe he wants South Carolina. So we'll talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you might remember a few shows back, we gave you the states with the worst children's dental health. We're going to give you the top 10 states with the best children's dental health towards the end of the show. So stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I'm telling you, get over to Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. For the best haircut at the best price, call first for your appointment. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays, 727-733-3773. Also, Arbor Life Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, whatever it has to do with trees, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, as we are talking, Christopher Wray and the Homeland Security Director, Alejandro Mayorkas, are testifying before the House Homeland Security Committee in what they are calling worldwide threats to the homeland, where the witnesses are testifying about things like the border. That's our southern border. Israel, Iran, China, lots and lots and lots of things they are testifying about. You know that they're going to run both Ray and Mayorkas through the ringer. They tried to impeach Ray in the House, you know, but they didn't come up with enough votes. There was about 7 or 8 Republicans that refused to go along with it, and that took care of that possibility. But today's hearing addresses threats from other countries, not just the border. Ray says, this is Christopher Ray, the FBI director, that China's intelligence and espionage efforts pose the most significant long-term threat to economic and national security. It's interesting that Biden is meeting with President Xi of China while we are saying these things over, you know, in the other room. Now, of course, Biden's technically going to be out in San Francisco. I guess they're cleaning up the town for him, getting all the homeless out. I guess when we have somebody from China showing up, that's when we get rid of the all the problems. But other than that, we would have had the same problems in San Francisco.
Wonder where they're shoving them off to.
Yeah.
You know, they're kicking them off the streets. Why couldn't they do that before?
I know. Did you see the stock market had a good day yesterday. They rallied, and they leapt up nearly 500 points. This is raising hopes that the Federal Reserve will not hike rates again. Stock market's trying to tell the Fed, hey, we don't need higher interest rates right now. The Dow Jones was up 490 points. So that's about 34,800 plus. That's pretty good. The S&P rallied. The NASDAQ also jumped about 2.4 points. So stocks are doing pretty well right now. The S&P 500 and the Dow are up about 7.2% and 7.2 and 5.4% respectively for the entire month so far in November.
Stocks and stuff are doing well, yeah. But if you need to buy groceries or pay electric bills and stuff like that, you're out SOL. Of luck.
Yeah, you really are. Well, I guess you can say that the House is trying to do its job. The House passed a bill yesterday, or actually last night. This is why I'm saying there's so much going on right now. The House passed a bill last night to avert a government shutdown. The vote, 336 to 95. Well over the two-thirds it needed to get the measure over the line. Just two Democrats actually voted against the bill. 93 Republicans. There were more Republicans. There were 93 Republicans voted against the bill. There are more Republicans voting against the bill than Democrats. So now it goes to the Senate, where the majority leader there, Democrat Chuck Schumer, indicated he would take it up as soon as possible. So it's a big win, actually, for Michael Johnson, the new Speaker of the House. He has a plan that creates two separate deadlines for funding the government, one for one part, one for the other. He doesn't want to just have everything, you know, under the sun in one bill. It would prevent Congress from lumping all 12 of their spending bills into what they call an omnibus package, which is just one big, huge bill. That way everybody can hide.
Right. That's what they always
do. They'll say, well, yeah, I know I didn't like this part of the bill, but I had to pass it because it was the other part of the bill we had to pass. And so that way they get around being criticized and being called to account on it. Oh, well, that's the way it goes in Washington. Why do we put up with that year after year after
Sorry.
Year? What's so funny? Somebody...
I was just looking at the TV, and they're, you know, because they're talking about immigration, and they're showing file video of immigrants jumping out of moving cars. I was thinking, if that was an Olympic event... bring them in.
The illegal immigrant border crossing event is now taking place. Oh, there we go. Here comes five of them out of a station wagon. Ah, look at that one hurdling the fence. Quite good.
And by the way,
a little play-by-play.
I've got a foolproof way of that the government will never shut down. It's real simple. You include congressmen and senators that won't get paid unless it's passed. It'll never shut down.
Yeah. People talk about that all the time. And if there was a way that you could tie their salary into performance, I think we would be a lot better off. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, our old friend Jessica Malugin will join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute as we talk about Biden's guidelines for regulators on artificial intelligence.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want.
Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back on a Wednesday, and just before we bring on Jessica from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, this crossed the wire this morning. President Biden is set to strike a deal with China that would limit the use of artificial intelligence in nuclear weapons. Now, according to the report, Biden and Xi will agree, Xi is the president of China, will agree to limit artificial intelligence use in the systems that control and deploy nuclear weapons, as well as the technologies used in autonomous weapon systems like drones. Wow. So we've got Jessica Malugin, one of our buddies, the director of the Center for Technology and Immigration, joining us. We're going to talk with her about how Joe Biden might be putting too much faith in regulators for coming up with things that perhaps the free market could do better when it comes to artificial intelligence. Jessica, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. What do you think about this report I just mentioned about Biden and President Xi of China striking a deal that would limit artificial intelligence in nuclear weapons? Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I think all the normal caveats apply here that would apply with any other agreement with China. I mean, they're not exactly known for keeping their word to these agreements. So, that's a great idea to say you want to keep human oversight in things that are as potentially dangerous as nuclear weapons. But I'm not sure what real guarantee we have that they'll keep themselves to whatever they agree to. And I think that's always the danger when you're negotiating with someone who's not really your friend.
I think that's exactly right. That's the first thing I thought about. I wouldn't trust the guy as far as I could throw him. I mean, I wouldn't when it comes to artificial intelligence. What the heck kind of a deal is he going to strike with him? And I don't even know how they would set the terms on something like that. This is such a, it's like we don't even know what the animal looks like, and we're trying to set directives on it when it comes to artificial intelligence. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and I think in this case, how would that sort of thing be verified? They're not exactly going to welcome us in and show us their nuclear reserves, right? I mean, that's some pretty top secret stuff, I'm sure, on both sides of the Pacific. We wouldn't do that for China, and they wouldn't do it for us. So, yeah, that's a great idea. I hope they can get something worked out, but I would just caution the Biden administration to take it for what it's worth.
So I believe you have an article that came out in the National Review about these directives on artificial intelligence, and you mentioned that more than a dozen federal agencies are to establish guidelines and best practices with the idea of promoting consensus industry standards. And you go on to say, and I think rightly so, that
the free market would probably come up with the best way of handling all of these things, rather than a bunch of people sitting in a room trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I think for what those agencies do internally, they have to keep up with the world, and right now the world is getting to know AI, and that's fine. That part of it, how perhaps they can increase privacy and security with what they do using AI tools, is a perfectly reasonable thing to do. But, of course, the problem is when the U.S. government is one of the biggest buyers of all this technology, what you're really doing is saying the standards you set for these agencies become sort of de facto regulation for how these systems are developed by private companies. Because if you can't sell them to the U.S. government, you're leaving a lot of money on the table. So I think that's where we have to be careful. And some of the larger models, foundational models, are being subject to a lot of government oversight. And I think that's a huge mistake. As I said, and you just repeated, these people are not who we want in charge of the future of AI. You know, we are in a race with, again, China for this, and we want to make sure that the U.S. remains the global leader on this technology. So hamstringing it with a bunch of red tape is not a good move if we want to remain number one. And the other part of this is, because it's an executive order, you know, all of this happens and will be realized as regulation in the marketplace, but of course not a single elected person has ever voted on this, right? Congress is circulating some ideas for what they may or may not want to do. Senator Schumer has hosted these high-profile meetings of tech executives, some of them behind closed doors. But Congress hasn't voted on anything yet. So we're just getting a bunch of rules that are just made by bureaucrats. And I think this is way too promising and important of a technology, both for the benefit of Americans in across so many sectors. What it can do for education, healthcare, general efficiency of the economy could be absolutely fantastic. Like, literally, people's lives will be saved. But to just, you know, leave it up to people to decide in little meetings in their ugly buildings how this is going to go is really foolish.
Yeah. You also write it might be unconstitutional, kind of an overreach by the administration.
Yeah, because these agencies are supposed to carry out the laws that Congress passes. They're not supposed to make up new laws. So to the extent that these rules are just used internally, that's fine. They make the rules in their own agencies. But when they start getting exported to the private market, now we have a problem, right? Because Congress has never empowered them to do that. And obviously, if Congress hasn't voted on AI or what the rules of the road are, then how are these people justified in going out and regulating this nascent industry?
We're talking with Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. She's penned a piece in the National Review a few days ago. Biden order on artificial intelligence puts too much faith in regulators. So is there a timeline on these directives by Biden as to, is there going to be some grand coming out party with the guidelines? Or
DC equivalent of that.
Is that it?
Yeah, they have. Different parts of it have different, and different agencies have different timelines. But for the most part, you know, within a year, these agencies are supposed to come back to a new office at the White House that's going to kind of coordinate AI policy, and they're supposed to come back with their recommendations and rules, and then we'll start implementing. But of course, you know, the problem is not that the people in the private sector know exactly the perfect answer and exactly how AI will roll out, and they can perfectly anticipate the problems. Of course not. And these bureaucrats don't either. The difference is that once it's a regulatory rule, it's very difficult to undo that, right? There's not a lot of flexibility. It's hard to make a U-turn if something doesn't work out the way you think, whereas the market is much more nimble that way, right? Mistakes are going to be made. There are going to be challenges and problems with AI. I don't think we're at the point yet where there are threats to humanity, but there are going to be bumps in the road. The difference is that a free market can handle that, right? And there probably will be some amount of legislation that needs to be updated, and common law in the courts will have to be updated because there's copyright issues and lots of things like that. But we can handle that. You know, it's not, it's just, foolish to think that these people, because they have this job in D.C., have a crystal ball where they can anticipate every risk AI will bring up, but not ever sacrifice some of its productivity and all of its benefits to that, right? That there's everything in life, AI included, is a trade-off. But it's much better to work out those trade-offs with price signals and the rule of law in the marketplace than it is with a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington, D.C.
Here is a question that is totally out of left field, Jessica, but I was just thinking about it as you were talking. There is a liquor company, and Ed may remember where it's from, that has made their CEO a female artificial intelligent robot. You remember that, Ed?
I do. Oh, you remember Jessica? She has bad hair. That's what I remember.
That's right. Tell what is going on there? I mean, go ahead.
I think for them in particular, it's a really good PR stunt, right?
Yes.
We're talking about it. And I assume that there's a great deal of oversight for their CEO there, this AI. And I think, you know, that's fun, and we're all going to have to think about those issues, probably not exactly in that way, but AI will become more and more a part of our workplace. But I think a really important piece of that, as it's starting to take shape, seems to be that AI will act as more of a co-pilot to people. There's going to be human oversight. There's going to be an intersection of people, and AI will do the more mundane tasks that will have to be looked over by humans, at least for now. So, you know, like I said, I have a feeling that their COO or whoever, the vice CEO, is probably keeping a close eye on her. But, you know, I think it's great publicity.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, oh, my goodness, I guess we're getting to that point. This has become a brave new world, isn't it, with all of these things? You know, robots that are running companies. And then you have the question of whether or not somehow some rogue artificial intelligence will start trying to take over the world or something like that. And we have a huge science fiction movie going on with that. Ed, you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, Jessica, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, but the movie War Games with Matthew Broderick. Are we talking anything like that with AI in the military?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's a great example of where you have to build in security, right? You have to build in human oversight. There have to be kill switches. I mean, you have to be able to unplug the thing. And I think that, you know, AI isn't going to just land on top of us one day, right? And the same in the military context. It's going to be tested and started and rolled out slowly. So hopefully that mistakes like that won't be made, right? We'll understand sort of where the risks are and we can adapt to that. We've done that with all our technologies. And a lot of uses of AI have been around for a long time. It's just that the chat GPT kind of brought it to everyone's attention. And I do think there's enormous promise and benefit, but of course there's risk. But we can handle that.
There was another movie that just recently came out, too, Megan, that was kind of creepy, too.
Yeah, that's a more socially creepy version of events, I think. I mean, listen, there's going to be that stuff, and we'll have to adapt to that. And we're in the process of adapting to social media, right? Because using some social media is great, and using it in bad ways or too much is not great. And we're going to have to, there's a learning curve there for all of us, not just companies, but people who use this technology and users. And we're on that curve now, and we'll figure this out. But to say, you know, at the starting line, we're not going to do this because something bad might happen. That's the precautionary principle, where you don't do something unless you can say that the risk to doing it is zero. And frankly, that's just no way to innovate, right? There's too many people who won't have their lives saved with gains in medical information from AI. There's too much efficiency that's being left. So we have to go methodically and thoughtfully forward, and I think we're very capable of that as a society. But I do think that free enterprise does a better job of that than government bureaucrats.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Jessica. I am so glad you are on the case. People like you makes me feel much more secure. Thank you so very much for coming on and talking about this really important issue.
It's always my pleasure to chat with you guys.
Thanks, Jessica. Ours too. Jessica Malugin, all right, of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Always enjoy talking with her. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, New Hampshire telling Biden to go scratch, that it's going to continue to be the first state to hold a presidential primary.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thank you so very much for being with us. So, next year, we're going to be really into the presidential primary situation. And although Iowa holds a caucus and is the first state to have anything to do with voting for the president, and in the Republican and Democratic Party, it's New Hampshire that has been the first state to hold the primaries, and they want to keep it that way, and Biden does not. A nearly year-long battle between New Hampshire and the Democratic National Committee over the timing of New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary is headed to a culmination. The Secretary of State in New Hampshire, his name's Dave Scanlon, is scheduled to announce today the date of the contest in New Hampshire. And, you know, it's been 100 years worth of New Hampshire being the first state to hold a presidential primary. He said this, I'm going to say a few things about why the New Hampshire primary is important to hold the leadoff position, and then I'll announce the date. But Biden doesn't want that. Biden wants, I believe, South Carolina, because he has a better chance of getting a victory in South Carolina than he might in New Hampshire. Did you know that Biden's name is not on the list so far in the state of New Hampshire on the presidential ballot? He would have to be a write-in at this point.
Well, it is, but they changed it. It just says, let's go Brandon up there.
Yeah. So we have our buddy back with us, the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, there is so much going on. I don't even know. I will let you decide. What do you? What would you like to talk about, my friend?
You know, Paul, first of all, I got to say what's going on in Washington, with 300,000 Jews there.
That's
so
right.
So far, I am amazed that nothing has happened, to be honest with you. I thought for sure, but we still got all day today to go, right?
It's been very peaceful. An indication. They're not climbing lampposts and trying to take down the American flag, if that's what you mean.
No. I'm worried about something happening there.
I know you are.
Yeah, that's what I was concerned about. But
so
far, nothing. I mean, that's a good thing.
I think it goes to show the temperament of the people that have come in support of Israel, as opposed to those that came and demonstrated all over the place in these different cities, including D.C., apparently against what Israel is doing in that war.
That's something. You got 300,000 people there. Like I said, I was worried about a radical trying something, you know?
But, I know what you mean.
Yep, that's good that that's not happening.
It's a huge turnout. It's a huge turnout. So, what do you think about China and President Biden meeting today in San Francisco with Chinese President Xi? Are we going to get a lot done there?
You're going to get nothing done. Not a thing. He's going to show, she's going to sit there and look at Biden and know that he doesn't even know what's going on. And he's talking with Newsom, seeing if they're going to back him for president. That's what that's about.
Yeah, you know, you worry about exactly how he can be taken advantage of. There's no way. I just don't see Biden trying to chastise President Xi in any way. And I don't know what the word would be. Keep President Xi and China in check. I just don't think that's going to happen.
He can be sitting there with Xi and Xi talking. He thinks he's talking to him. Xi can be, for crying out loud, ordering lunch. And he'd never even know.
Well, that's true, because they don't speak the same language.
No.
In fact, I don't know what language Biden speaks anymore. I was trying to figure out, what language is that?
They're going to need two translators. They're going to need one translator to understand what Biden is saying to translate to the Chinese person.
I wonder what the odds are that Biden dozes off or nods off halfway through.
No, that'll happen. They probably got odds for that in Las Vegas.
Wouldn't that be funny if she leaned over and woke him up?
Hey, don't underestimate it.
You never know.
You know, Ed, to something you said the other day on the show, and you said you wish I was there because you were talking about Ron and people saying that he's not ready for it and this and that, but if something happened to Trump, you know what? I mean, I agree with you. Listen, you know me. I think Ron would be great and everything else. And if he was to back out now, he'd be a fool, because if something does happen, you don't know. I mean, personally, I don't think none of these court cases are going to win against Trump, but that doesn't mean anything. And who else would we have if it wasn't for Ron?
I was going to ask you about Nikki Haley. What do you think of Nikki Haley?
Why are you asking me about that? I don't like her.
Okay, well, that takes care of the question then. You don't like her.
Yeah, I don't like her at all. No.
I've noticed that she's kowtowing a little bit to those that are blaming the wealthy, that we have to hold the wealthy more in check. She's kind of going down that road, and I think that's going to do her in. Because the other candidates are going to say, you know, all of a sudden, are you a conservative or not? You're going after the people that are making the money, that are keeping people employed in this country, when you talk about, you know, trying to rein in the wealthy and the taxes, etc.
Well, first of all, there would be nobody better than Ron DeSantis if Trump can't run. Let's face the facts. He would be the one, and right now, I'd be happy with either or, but you know where I push myself.
I know you do. Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you that don't know Andrew, he is very, very good friends with the DeSantis family. And so they actually get together, the family in certain things that they do. I don't want to get into any of the detail. But anyway, he knows a lot about what is going on. He's a very big backer, however, of Donald Trump for president. And we certainly realize that. I like both of them. You know that I kind of like the conservatism of Ron DeSantis. I think that Donald Trump is more of a populist. I think DeSantis might hold the spending more in check than, say, than Donald Trump. You know how I feel about that.
Well, I can tell you personally that Ron would hold the spending intact because he's tight as could be himself personally.
I like that. I think that's good.
No question about it.
I that's a check mark on his side of the ledger, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, they stated he could squeeze so hard he could squeeze the buffalo off a nickel.
Well, there you go. That's our kind of guy. That's the kind of guy we want overseeing our budgets.
He would do a great job.
And our government, yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
We'll have to see where it goes from there.
What do you think?
What do you think about the elbow yesterday?
Yes, let's get into that one. I don't know too much about it. I understand that we're talking about the former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, doing an elbow to the kidney of some other Republican congressman?
Senator.
Was it a senator?
A congressman or a senator? You believe it was a senator?
Oh, it was?
No, he had to be a congressman. He had to be.
I think it was a congressman.
He voted against McCarthy. That's why McCarthy elbowed him, they said.
Okay, well, it's certainly getting a lot of play on CNN and some of those liberal stations. I don't know about all the details, but there's a lot of bad blood going on. There was another situation.
There was another one.
Yeah, I got that one right here.
That was in the Senate. That was in the Senate with the union president.
A Republican senator who nearly came to blows with a national union boss.
Yep.
And the Republican senator was a fighter in...
I saw that, yeah.
I don't think I'd want to come to blows with that guy. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma. He was trading verbal barbs with the Teamsters president, Sean O'Brien. But the situation escalated yesterday after Mullen read incendiary tweets from O'Brien, including one in which the boss, the union boss, intimated he could fight the lawmaker. Well, the lawmaker, I don't think he'd want to fight the law. Maybe he didn't know that this guy was a former, what do they call it, MMA fighter?
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't think I'd want to take that guy on. In fact, I'm looking at a picture of this guy, Senator Mullen. I want him on my team.
What, did you tell him to meet him in the parking lot or what?
I don't know, but I want Mullen on my team. That guy looks pretty intimidating to me.
Joe Biden was going to jump in there, too, I heard, if you kept parading.
Yeah, Joe would be...
you could take him behind the school.
Yeah, well, you can have Joe on your team. I'll take Mullen on my team. Well,
there's a lot going on, and you know what? The Republicans are doing nothing but embarrassing themselves.
What do you think, about the new majority... the Speaker of the House, Michael Johnson... I think he's trying to do a good job. What do you think?
Well, you know...
He's very conservative.
At first he was talking about going after an impeachment for Biden, and then he said there's just not enough evidence for the bribery case. And I'm like, how much evidence do you need? You got him on a video bribing the people. And that kind of gave me a hum about this guy.
I think he's willing, but he's doing an incremental approach. I think a lot of them are. They don't want to just... they don't want to go to the, for instance, Mayorkas, they just took a vote that, what's her name, Green, Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Yeah.
She had a bill of impeachment that she brought for a vote, and it went down. It went down when about 6 or 8 Republicans in the House voted against it, as well as all of the Democrats. So, if anybody deserves to be kicked out of his job, it's Alejandro Mayorkas. This guy is completely out to lunch, and we've got a very porous border. And this guy's insisting it's secure. So this guy's got to be, if anybody needs to be kicked out. And yet they couldn't get the votes. So that's why I think they're proceeding, and Johnson is proceeding a little bit more cautiously when it comes to Biden.
That's the problem with the Republicans. They do not stick together.
Well,
if they stuck together, he'd be gone.
Now, listen, I don't want to say in defense of Mayorkas, but in defense of Mayorkas, he's only carrying out Biden's policy.
That's right.
But if you get him out, they're going to put somebody else, some other pat, as Oswald would say, another patsy in there.
So should we throw our hands up and not try to get him out?
Wait another year. It's all going to come down anyway. Another year, we clean house. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Well, I guess...
hopefully we don't get our house cleaned before that. Remember, we're still on the verge of World War III, and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
We've got 40-something bases that have been hit in the Middle East. We've been shooting back at empty warehouses to show we got rockets, but other than that, they're forgetting about that.
It does seem like we're on the verge of a very, 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 very dangerous moment. And we just have the wrong guy in the White House to be there.
We got a lot of the wrong people everywhere, Paul.
We have no control. It just seems that we've lost control. We've always thought that the United States has been the bulwark. It's been the rallying country. And right now, I'm not sure that we can call ourselves
Well,
the country everybody else looks to keep to maintain the peace.
We've never been in this position before where a former president is running out his third term from his basement.
That's yeah. the truth, too.
Yeah.
It's the truth, but you know...
That's what I'm talking about, though. We have no confidence whatsoever in what we are doing in this country. None.
No, that's why people look at this country to laugh. It's their entertainment today.
Well, there's
more. All the other countries are laughing at
us. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of laughing, Andrew, I got a story for your barbershop. Did you hear Walmart is expanding now? You know, they've gotten into the vision thing with the eyeglasses in some stores. They're opening up some dental offices now in Walmarts. And it's true. It's
really?
True. Yeah. It's gonna include an express lane for customers with less than 12 teeth.
I was biting on that one.
Yeah, hey,
biting.
They
get the
real well.
Biting. Did you get the pun on that one?
All right.
Hey, let me leave you guys with one, Andrew, I would leave you with one very positive, optimistic thing. We're talking about a lot of the negatives right now. Florida is considered the freest state when it comes to education, according to a new study. This is the Heritage Foundation. They released a report card last week. It ranked Florida as the top state for education freedom. I think that says a lot for Ron DeSantis. What do you think?
It does. It says it's great, but you got to realize we're not a free state. We're a very expensive state, too.
Yeah, but when it comes to free thought and...
that's good. Ron's doing a great job in Florida. No question about it.
I agree.
No question. That's what I'm saying. He's got
to
hang
in. You want him to stay.
What's going to happen.
Yeah, you'd rather have him stay as governor. Understood.
It doesn't matter to me at this point. You know, I mean, like I say, if Trump can't run, Ron's the person. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and that proves it in your shop there. You've got a cutout of Trump there, and then in the bullpen warming up, just in case, next to him is Ron DeSantis' cutout.
Well, hey, I got news for you. I had to put on my Ron DeSantis this week.
Yeah.
Somebody came in with the Ron DeSantis signs. I won't mention his name. But I had to put a Ron DeSantis for president on the Ron DeSantis in my barber.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did.
Well,
now I got to get one that says Trump 2024, so they're both even.
Well, we always tell people that whenever you go in, not only will you get a great haircut, but you'll enjoy the ambiance at Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. Andrew, go ahead.
You should have been here yesterday because Christine was doing the hula hoop and juggling four balls at the same time. She was entertaining everybody.
While she was cutting hair?
She tried that.
Yeah, don't sign me up.
I don't think I'd be in the chair for that
one. Yeah, don't sign me up for that haircut.
But,
yeah.
But, Ed, go look on my Facebook. You'll see her doing it, man, in the video.
Wow.
Anyway,
that's pretty good.
Stop by the shop after your show today.
I will, my friend. Thank you.
All right.
Always a pleasure talking with you.
Be good.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. The Master Barber himself. Wow. Okay. Let's take our break. When we come back, as we promised you, the top 10 states, speaking of dental health, with the best children's dental health.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Thank you very much for being with us here. Freedom Works on a Wednesday. By the way, we come to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. Always delighted when you can listen to us. But if you can't listen to us live, Big Ed puts all of our shows on podcast. Bless him. All you've got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. And at the very top, you'll see the word podcast up there. I think it's in the center. Click on it. It opens up another window for you. You'll see the latest show that we've done at the very top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the top 10 is. The whole bit. Ed does all that for us, and we really appreciate it. Ourfreedomworks.com. All right, so as I say, you know, things are really bleak. Very bleak around the country, more so than I have ever... You know, the word was malaise, Ed, when I was younger, and there was Jimmy Carter. They called it malaise. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a feeling of just... You were walking around in a funk all the time, right? Well, I think this is worse. This isn't malaise. This is kind of scary.
So much going on, you know, not only... outside of our country with everything in the Middle East that's going on, but it affects what's going on here. There's people in New York City are afraid to walk around in some of these places.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the whole thing of you never know where the next hit's going to be.
Right.
You know, whether it's one of those mass shootings where some dope freaks out, you know, and decides to grab a gun and go to some place and start shooting it up, or it's an organized thing. Sleeper cells, you just don't know. I mean, you have to really, really be on your toes these days. And do what they, you know, we had a phrase right around after 9/11 was, if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
And that applies today.
Very true. A little bit of good news again. A federal appeals court panel has ruled in favor of the energy industry. They did this last night, requiring the Biden administration to hold a massive offshore oil and gas lease sale without ECHO green energy, etc., without those kinds of restrictions. This is the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they said that the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, BOEM, must allow a large Gulf of Mexico oil and gas lease sale. It was set for September, but it was postponed after the Bureau made last-minute environmental restrictions. And, you know, we need a lot more energy independence in this country. They've been trying to limit what we can do in Alaska, what we can do in the Gulf, what we can do all over the place, what we can do with fracking.
I think
we got to release these restrictions. We are doing ourselves in. Go ahead.
This pipe dream of being 100% solar, 100% batteries and stuff is just. We're always going to need fossil fuels. But crying out loud, if somebody in their Tesla runs out of electricity and the batteries need to charge, this guy with a generator powered by fossil fuel charges him up for an hour or 2 hours. But the notion that just, hey, we want to be completely off fossil fuel in another 10 or 15, 20 years, it's just not going to happen. Especially since we're finding out some of these cars stink.
Well, it's like the artificial intelligence thing. The free market, if you allow it to work, will bring in the newest situation with electric vehicles. It'll bring it in the right way. Because car companies want to deliver what's the best product that people want. And if you can deliver something with electricity that's a better vehicle than... Okay, so this is the way it works. The same thing with artificial intelligence. We were talking about
there's
that.
There's so much restriction to those things.
Of course. We got the hard fist of the federal government, you know, getting in there and crashing through and screwing everything up. Mm-hmm. We just got to learn. All right, it's time for our top 10, Ed. You'll have to get over on the drums as usual. You might remember that we did several shows back, the top 10 states with the worst children's dental health, and the worst state of all was Mississippi. But this is coming from Wallet Hub. They've looked at 26 key indicators of dental health in all 50 states and the District of Columbia to determine which states are making a difference in the oral health of children, as well as adults, by the way. And so here are their top 10 states with the best children's dental health. Number 10. Ohio, good old Ohio, right in the center of the country, is apparently doing a pretty good job. Number 9, over to the East Coast, Northeast, Massachusetts. Massachusetts, number 8. Woo! Did we have a pop?
Yeah, I just banged my head on them.
Oh, you all right, buddy?
Yeah.
Ed just fell on the floor, ladies and gentlemen. He's picking himself up right now. Number 8 is Idaho. I guess if you eat potatoes, it's good for your teeth.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what maybe it's what they eat, you know?
I would think to a certain extent it's your diet. Well, it's got to be.
Some of these.
Right?
Some
it's got to be your diet.
Some of these northern states, they eat a lot of vegetables and stuff, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think junk food.
A lot of junk food in Florida.
Yeah, a lot of sugar and stuff is bad for you, right? Number 7, Michigan. Yeah, good old Michigan. That's where Kellogg's is made. Mm. Maybe you need more cereal in your diet. I'm not sure. Number 6, North Dakota. Why is North Dakota always doing well? They do well in every one of them. Whenever you do anything about top 10 best, North Dakota always does well.
Well, they're way up there and out of the way.
That's a good place to live.
Yeah.
Everything seems to work in North Dakota. Okay, number 5. Connecticut. Mm. I always thought of Connecticut like Massachusetts to some extent. Mm. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Number 4, Minnesota. Okay, we got, so far, have you noticed all the states are up north?
Yep. Yeah.
So this is a trend.
Yeah.
It really is. All right, number 3, District of Columbia. Now, that surprised me a little bit, believe it or not. But then I thought about it a little bit more. And you have a lot of professionals that live there. So maybe they've got better dentists.
True. Yeah.
I'm not sure about that, but I'm guessing that. All right, number 2. Hey, my old stomping ground, Illinois. Mm. Illinois. I wonder if it has anything to do with the water from Lake Michigan.
Make the teeth
all the drinking water we get comes from the Lake Michigan when you live in the Chicago area.
Make your teeth glow.
Yeah. All right, Ed, what do you think's number 1?
Oh, I don't know.
Let me give you a hint.
All right.
It's close to Illinois.
You already said Ohio. Let's go Wisconsin. I don't know.
Bingo.
All right.
It's Wisconsin. Hey, you know Wisconsin's on Lake Michigan also?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Lake Michigan. Everybody go up, live around Lake Michigan, your teeth will get better. All right. Thank you so very much. We really, really appreciate your listening. We will be back on Friday. Meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News.